Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Big day, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. Big here, your host today. I'd like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about ThinkBigRadio.com. Have you spread the word today? We have an exceptional person on the line today, Raven Pullen. She's out of Burnsville, Maryland, and she is a female Michael Jackson impersonator, creative dancer. And we've talked a little while before the show, and she is awesome. Raven, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
Great. Before we even get started, can you please let our listeners know how to contact you?
You can reach me through my Facebook, which is MJ's Raven Pullen, through there, as well as my email, which will be forwarded to management, which is mjsraven@gmail.com. And all bookings, propositions, business, and collaborations will be forwarded to my management and agency.
Great. So now with the Facebook page, it will be facebook.com/ is it MJS Raven,
yes.
R-A-V-E-N?
Mm-hmm. Pullen, my last name, P-U-L-L-E-N.
Okay, good. Now how about... tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, like where you're from, large family, small family, you know, anything that you'd like to share to, you know, kind of get our listeners to, you know, get a feel for who you are.
Well, as everyone will know, I am a female Michael Jackson impersonator. I am basically the only female Michael Jackson impersonator, I believe, at my level of what I do professionally. I do come from a very large family, very extended family, and very cultural family, for that matter. Basically, yeah.
Okay.
And I've been doing this for over 25 years.
Wow. What was it like when you first laid eyes on Michael? I mean, what got you started in the impersonation business?
Well, starting from short, brief beginning, I was introduced to Michael Jackson as a performer at the age of 5. My mother had turned on Motown 25 for the first time being aired. I was residing in New York City, the amazing city that never sleeps, and she told me to specifically watch him. So I did, and I immediately was like, I can do that. At 5 years old, I mean, it's kind of ballsy for a five-year-old, but I knew that was something I could do, and I did it, and I haven't stopped since.
So what was the like, specific reason? I mean, it was just like you say your mom came and said, you need to watch this. Were you just dancing and all those types of things and –
I was put through dance school because my mother was a dancer, and watching him was like a whole new level of dancing because I was accustomed to ballet, you know, tap, jazz dancing. So to be introduced to the pop culture of what Michael represented was phenomenal to me. And it allowed me to move in a way that was different from what I was accustomed to be trained as a dancer at 5. So, yeah.
So it was, because I know when you're trained as dancers, there are specifics that you have to learn in the basics of all of those dance. And was watching him and at that age, did that kind of, like, allow you to say, well, let me, I can also take what I've learned, the basics,
Yes.
Then incorporate a type of freedom. Was that like, is that how you felt?
Yes.
Or what was it? To explain
that
to me
is
how
actually, it's exactly how you said it. It allowed me to know that I can incorporate what he was doing into what I was trained, which was very similar, actually, because he, as everyone knows, he was inspired by the great dancers from the Golden Age, from Gene Kelly to Fred Astaire.
Wow.
To Jackie Wilson, to James Brown, and, you know, and so on. So it was more of getting to learn all forms of dance through him and to see that there's more to dance than just pliés and, you know, pas de bourrées, as they put it in Italian jazz. So he allowed me to open my eyes to more of what dance was about.
So you were five then, and so
yes,
at five when you first saw him that first time, then you know it was a lot different then. We didn't have the internet, we didn't really have YouTube.
Correct.
You know, how did you
Correct.
You know find out more things? I mean, what did you do to kind of study some of his style?
Well, the way it was supposed to be, you took it to the streets. You learned from the dancers on the streets. You learned from watching, I think MTV was very up and coming at the time. So the music video industry was getting big. So I was learning from watching his music videos, watching dancers I know from the streets, you know, going out there and seeing what dance was about, where he learned it from, how did he incorporate it. And then I incorporated it into my own, which is what I still do to this day. I'm consistently watching the latest moves and incorporating it into what I do as Michael and making it fresh, making it new, something that's never been done. So I've learned from the master and I keep learning. They say the best way to learn is to watch the master, learn what he's done and perfect it and take it to a whole new level, which is what I do.
You know, and that's great that you have that philosophical approach to dance, because right there that's the type of passion that shows that, you know, you are on a different level as opposed to someone who just lives. How often do you dance?
Every day. Even when I'm in between gigs and interviews, I practice at least 2-3 hours a day in between working and raising a son. I have to have that time frame for myself, for my soul, for my body, and dance.
So that will definitely keep you fit, I'm presuming.
Yes.
So when you were five, that's when you started, you learned, and then you know, as time went on and from the other dance that you learned, you know, you actually got out there. So do you think that that's one of the things that any artist, regardless of, you know, what they're doing, that they have to really, like, get out in the streets and, you know, meet other people? Or do you think someone could
absolutely
be just successful being alone? So, absolutely,
I believe it's very important to, if you love what you do, to learn every aspect of it. To learn its history, to learn its roots, to be better. I believe it is best to go out there. It's not just enough to sit in front of a television or at a movie or the internet and watch. You have to physically get up, go out there, see what's out there, learn, you know, absorb the energy, absorb their culture, their vibe, you know, their knowledge, and see what's out there and meet people, because you can learn so much by getting up and getting out there, I believe. So, yeah. And just putting yourself out there, allowing yourself to be vulnerable to learning, to fall, to rise. It's very important in anything you do.
That, you know what, and that's I really love the term that you used about being vulnerable, because
yes,
there's so much competition and so many different things, and it's, you know, you have to get out there. So how was it when you, like, when was the first time that you ever performed, you know, or in front of a crowd or something like that, and, you know, it led you keep on? Because that takes, you know, you're really showing vulnerability when you step out for the first time on a large stage. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I was 15. I was 15 when I decided to do my first local talent show in New Jersey. And I decided, okay, let's see how the audience reacts to me, being a woman and impersonating a man. And I went out there and I did my show. I gave it my all, because I feel when I dance, I give my soul to the audience. And I ended up winning the competition, not knowing after till the end, of course. But it was an amazing experience because the audience was up on their feet enjoying what I was doing. And to be able to feel the love that they give back to you is the same love that you give to them in your performances. It became very addictive. And it just, it was a feeling I never felt before, you know. And I found my calling from there. And I'm like, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I feel, you know, the higher up, the powers that be, whatever you believe, I felt that God put me in this path for a reason. And that's why I do what I do.
Have you taken on any young people who may, like, follow you and want to learn a couple of things? Do you give back in that way?
Yes, I'm very involved in my community and very involved in different organizations. I am a member of the Youth of America organization, which was founded by James Brown, which is also where my management's involved. They're the godsons of James Brown, and we're all involved in that aspect of promoting education and a positive aspect for children and education. I'm also very involved in international aspects of it. I'm an ambassador for peace in the third world country of Nepal, which I help promote, you know, education and promoting stability for the children out there in Nepal. And I'm very involved in their aspect because I believe it's not enough to just inspire in the homeland. It's also important to inspire outside of the world. The one thing I was told from a very wise man had told me, it's not enough to dance like Michael, to look like Michael. You have to eat, sleep, breathe him. And a lot of people in my field don't expand where I have. They don't reach out and follow through on a humanitarian aspect. And I feel it's very important to do so. Because it's not just about you. I want to inspire kids to stay in school, to get their education, to follow their dreams. If they want to be a dancer, then come dance. I'll gladly teach you. I'll show you. I've taught dance classes locally, and to me it's very important. And being a mother is a good role model as well, having a son and inspiring him to be a really, you know, a mature, level-headed man as he grows up is a very good way for me to feel the positive karma of life, feeling I've given back. It's not just about me. So it's
wow,
very important to me, as you can tell. Yeah,
I can tell, and I'm sure that all of our listeners can tell, and the people who will be listening, that it's really coming from your heart. It's beautiful when we have people that's able to express their passion in the way that that you're expressing yours. And, you know, I can feel it over here. I would, so after you won the contest, how did you, you know, from that build on your career? Because, you know, there are steps that people have to take. And a lot of times people don't realize that there's a specific way that you do things, and not only that, a specific way you build after an accomplishment. So can you tell us a little bit about how you built your name and things of that sort after you had this first accomplishment that led you to what you're doing now and where you are.
Well, it's very important, like I stated prior, to go outside, to get out there and learn. But you also have to network. You have to learn from others who are not also just in your field, but those that surround your field, from every aspect of business to finance to communication, to even everything from graphic design. I feel every aspect of the world of knowledge goes hand in hand. It's very important to network. It's very important to meet people that can help you put your name out there, can help you put your form of what you do out there, and as well as giving back to them. You know, it's not just enough for them to be able to help you. It's you have to give back too. One hand washes the other. And I feel as long as you keep yourself in a positive aspect, and as my uncle put it, keep your nose clean and your feet on the ground, you'll be fine, you know.
Wow, that's great.
So, yeah.
And that has a lot of different meanings when you think about the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your nose clean,
yes,
and your feet on the ground. Yeah.
Everybody knows everybody. It's very, as large as the entertainment industry is, it's still very small in regards to everybody knows everybody. And it's important to be positive and support everyone, whether
right.
you agree with them
right.
or not, you know, because the same people you meet in the beginning will be the same people you meet at the end. And
wow.
I believe it's very important to stay always supportive and positive, no matter what, because it's a reflection on you as a performer or as a businessman or a financial advisor.
So, before we go any further, let's get your contact information
mm-hmm.
out one more time. How can people reach you?
Once again, I can be reached on my Facebook page, which is MJ's Raven Pullen. You can also reach me via email, which is mjsraven@gmail.com. And all information will be forwarded to my support team of management and agencies.
Great, great. Now, every now and then we'll have listeners who come on. Some of those listeners, they may want to ask a question, make a comment,
mm-hmm.
or they just want to listen. So we try mm-hmm. to at least have one of the listeners come on and make a statement. So at this point, we have a listener that's from the 408 area code with the first three numbers being 726.
Mm-hmm.
Listener, I'm going to bring you on. Can you just please state your name and where you're from and then proceed with a comment or a question? And, of course, if you don't want to say anything, then we won't hear anything. So here we go. Listener from 408-726, you are on the air. Please state your name and where you're from.
Hi, Calvin. Ms. Raven's management team. And I just wanted to congratulate her, and I'd like to thank you for having her on the show. I've been listening in, and she's a remarkable talent with her mindset, and also with her, you know, with her gym as a dancer and various other things. So I just want to say I'm very, very, very proud of Ms. Raven, and we look for great things to happen to her in the future for her. And once again, I appreciate you having her on Block TV on the radio. It's an honor, and I feel very, very proud of her for stating her cause, generosity, her humanity, as well as her talent. So we look for great things from her, and she's going to go very, very far in the industry. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And where are you located?
In California.
All right, great. Well, Raven, we have a gentleman on there came on, said some great things about you all the way from California.
Yes.
And
that's my manager.
Yeah, we're honored to have you as well. You know, your personality, just from your Facebook page, the videos from YouTube that are on the page, it came out as a positive vibe. And I immediately, being, you know, a Michael Jackson fan, wanted to hear from you, because I had never really heard of a female, you know, Michael Jackson impersonator. You know, I knew a couple of men growing up, or you meet a couple of people here and there on the streets who are, you know, taking it to the streets, like you say. And now just to even hear you and the humanitarian things that you're doing, you know, it's really an honor to have you on the show. And, of course, you know, we'll share your information and put you through our network to, you know, get you wherever it is that you also need to be. So I want to first thank you for coming on the show as well.
Oh, thank you.
Now, one of the things that I like for to discuss is, everyone knows that, you know, Michael Jackson was really an icon and all of the different things that he'd done. And one of the saddest days for me was when I received a phone call that he had died, and I couldn't believe it. You know, I was, you know, very upset at the person who told me, because he was known to kind of tell jokes. But when I found out later that he actually had died, it was, you know, it was painful, because it felt as if, you know, a part of all of us was gone. What do you remember where you were and what you were doing on that particular day when the news came?
Yes, actually, I was in my home in Jersey, and it came on the news, and I was at the process of networking my field, and I just completely froze and couldn't believe what I was hearing. And then I felt like my heart just broke in two, and I actually stopped talking to, you know, people for 2 weeks, for almost 2 weeks. It was just very emotional for me, because I considered him a father figure to me. Being raised as a single mom, and, you know, my mother was raising me on her own, I looked to him like a father figure. And to hear someone of that much importance in my life to have passed on, I felt like my world turned upside down, and I no longer had him to look to, because he, you know, the Lord saw fit and took him home. And it just, it still amazes me to this day. I have days where I'll go see if anything new from him comes out on the television or music video, and I have to remind myself there is no more. You know, it's whatever's left that he has within his company that they choose to show. And it's very heart-wrenching. So
right.
I use his death as a format to continue his legacy, to create what I feel out of respect for him that he would want to see. You know, I turn to his music, I listen to his words, and I create my own concept that I feel would be worthy in his honor. So I look at it that way. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, that's, and that's how, when a person really digs down, because I believe that one of the things that Michael taught me was about, you know, being yourself, becoming free and who you are. And a lot of the greats do that, like Bruce Lee was one of them that preached about, you know, take what's best and incorporate it into you. What's not, leave it alone. And, you know,
exactly.
Mike was one of those types of people. And I like how you said, listen to the words, because a lot of people, they hear the music and they kind of hear the rhyme through the song, but they don't really listen to the words and what the words bring out of you, you know. And and talking about the words, and I know that you're very creative. What's something about you that, you know, our listeners may not know, or your friends, you know, may not know? You know, something that's kind of, you know, quirky, or you're like, you know what, people don't really know this about me.
But they all know you can dance,
well,
and they all know you love dance.
Well, yeah. yeah, my friends know a lot about me that I will not share. But quirky, I guess. I do have a favorite snack. I mean, I try not to delve into my personal world too much, but I do have a favorite snack.
Uh-huh.
That is my ritual.
Okay.
I make, like, it's like a peanut butter cup drink. It's like chocolate milk with a scoop of peanut butter, and that's my little snack.
You said it's a peanut butter. Wait a minute. Did you say a peanut butter and chocolate drink?
Yeah, I make chocolate milk, and I put a giant spoon, like a tablespoon of peanut butter in it, and that's my little snack, my little treat, my quirky little treat. You know how Elvis had his peanut butter, you know, his toast with honey and fried bananas and fried butter? Mine is chocolate milk and peanut butter, so that's my little...
Listen, I know you have to dance 3 hours after drinking that every day. You 2 hours just gets the calories out of the way.
Exactly. That's
my
only little quirky thing.
I like that. That's wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So, you know, there's so much that we could talk about over this time. Would you like to share with our audience, because we only have a few minutes left, what are the key factors you believe that a person should incorporate in their lives to become successful, regardless of whatever field?
Well, the first and foremost, whatever your belief is in the higher powers, believe in that. I feel it's very, very important to have your faith. Whether you believe in God, whether you believe in Allah, Buddha, Thai, to me, it's important to have your faith first and foremost. It's also important to have the support team of your family, your friends, to have that personal support system behind you is also very important. You also have to have a professional support team believes in you, that has the same hunger as you and drive as you to be successful. Because without those three, I feel there is nothing. I also believe in education. It's very important to fulfill your educational aspect. Finish school, no matter what level it is, whether you finish high school, whether you finish college, your PhD, whatever you feel you need to do to be successful, finish it. You'll be much better well-rounded about that. And never take no for an answer. I feel that anybody that tells you no, that you can't do it, never believe them. Prove them wrong. And, you know, that'll be the fire in your soul. Because once somebody tells you you can't, prove to them you can. And that's my motto of life, of the fourfold nets of success.
Wow. I think that really covered it all and is a definite blueprint for those who are looking to be successful. Would at this point of the show, we'd like to really ask you, who would you like to thank? And we're going to be closing out. So before then, no, Mrs. MJS Raven Pullen, it was an honor, and I definitely would like to chat with you in the future as well as further,
thank you.
You know, your goals.
Well, real quick, I'd like to thank first God, my family, my friends, my manager, and Alvin and Calvin, my agent at Blink Show Productions. I want to thank my son for giving me a new level of life and everyone that has supported me, my fans, my supporters, my friends, and you guys. My listeners, thank you.
Thank you, guys. You've just heard Raven Pullen. Please support her, page up, share the interview. And without further ado, we'd like to thank you all for listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn.
You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.